You're listening to healthradio.fm. I am your host, Tamela McNabb. I have on the line with me today a gentleman from Hyundai Canada. You're the chairman of the board. Is that correct? Or are you CEO and president?
CEO and president.
Welcome to the show, Don.
Thanks.
Now, Hyundai Canada is involved in the fuel cell electric vehicle industry, and I'm excited about that because many years ago, I'm going back about 15 years, I wrote a business plan through my PR company for one of Vancouver's very first fuel cell companies. And it was a very, very tedious business plan. And I remember, it was like 2 in the morning and I was almost done. And 15 years ago, we talked about the technology back then, my computer crashed and nothing was saved.
I remember.
You couldn't surf the net like we can today. And I literally broke down. So I had to rewrite the business plan again. And so I know some of what it means to be in the fuel cell industry. Now, you're involved in launching is it Canada's first fuel cell car that's being mass-produced, or how does that work, Don?
Yeah, actually, we're the first car company to actually put a fuel cell into the market in the hands of a consumer. So we're actually selling fuel cell vehicles, and it's really that simple. There are a number of companies that make fuel cell vehicles. Most of your big automotive companies have fuel cell vehicles, but most of them haven't brought them to Canada because we really don't have much of an infrastructure to support them. Where do you get the fuel? Where do you fill it up? Where do you get it serviced? And we decided that we had at least enough of an infrastructure to sell them in Vancouver because there were a number of companies in Vancouver that support the manufacturing and distribution of fuel cells. And they had the fuel. They had the systems in place. So we began to sell the cars this year, and we put it online. We received, for the first 10 cars, we received 500 applications, and there's definitely latent demand out there for this technology, and for good reason, it makes sense.
Don, let's go back to the very beginning so our listeners can understand. You know, I always say that we talk about words like fuel cell or, antioxidants when it comes to food, and we hear and know those words, but we really don't know what it means. What is a fuel cell?
Yeah, that's a good question, because one of the issues we have to overcome is the perception that these cars are burning hydrogen, and what is hydrogen? And most people think of things like Hindenburg when they think of hydrogen, but the fact is hydrogen is the most abundant element in the universe. It's all around us. It's the most simplistic element and the lightest element as well. And what we're doing is basically taking an electric car. Now, these fuel cell cars are first and foremost electric cars. But you don't have to plug them into a wall. What you're doing is you're filling the tank with hydrogen gas. The hydrogen gas is then passing over a membrane that is then creating an electrical charge. So it's an electrochemical process. That electrical charge is charging the battery. And as the hydrogen passes over that membrane, and the membrane then converts the chemical into electrical charge and charges the battery, it is then combined with oxygen, and it goes out of the tailpipe as hydrogen and oxygen, H2O, goes out as water. And so what you really have is the ability to have an electric vehicle and all the benefits of an electric vehicle. It's not producing any carbon emissions, and it's quiet, and it's comfortable, and they're wonderful cars. But you don't have to worry about, driving a few hundred kilometers and then having to plug it in for 48 hours. You can sit there and literally fill your tank up with hydrogen gas. It takes about 5 minutes. It fills up just like a regular gasoline car. The pump looks the same, the nozzle looks the same, and it fills up almost the same. And you can drive over 400 kilometers on every tank as the hydrogen then depletes over the membrane and goes out the exhaust with oxygen. You just refill it. It's simple.
I also read, Don, that the handle of it does get quite cold. So for women like me who are somewhat perimenopausal, that could be a good thing too.
Yeah, the infrastructure, like I said, it's still developing. And, yeah, you're right, the handle gets cold, and we have to find a way to keep the handle warm. And out of all the technical issues we have to deal with, I think we're going to conquer that one. I don't think that will be a problem.
But I'm saying don't, though. At least leave one pump for us women that we can go to.
Well, for you, I'm going to – For you, I will do it. Okay.
Okay, perfect.
But for us guys, that you know.
Now I saw you drinking a glass of water, and you had said that that was a byproduct of the exhaust of one of the cars. Is it really truly that clean?
Yes, it is. Now, depending on your exhaust pipe and how long it's been out on the road, I wouldn't advise anybody to replicate that. But when you have a brand new car that comes off the production line and you're running the hydrogen through and it's dripping the water out the back, absolutely, drink up. But as you know, like any product, after it's been on the road, who knows what's been flying up around that tailpipe. So,
sure,
yeah,
exactly.
Please, kids, don't try this at home.
Exactly. No. So the point you're trying to make, though, is zero greenhouse gas emissions.
Yes.
Comparable to anything else in the market?
Well, yes and no. I think when you say comparable, there is no product out there. There's no electric vehicle that can travel unlimited distance. The challenge we have with the plug-in vehicles today is the range that they can get, the road range. So they can only go so far, and they need to be recharged. So, for instance, Tammy, if you're here in where I am in Toronto and we want to go up to Montreal, unfortunately, we can't take the Tesla. It's just not going to get us there. And that's a problem for some people. I mean, we liked our freedom. I think the most important thing about future technologies is that they're going to have to empower us in the ways that we've been empowered in the past. If they limit our empowerment, they limit our freedoms, if they require that we change our lifestyles, chances are the technologies aren't going to be accepted.
Right.
So for right now, electric cars, they work great for those people that are only driving short range. But most people then have to buy another car. And you know, if you can afford two or three cars, great. But if you can't, it doesn't make much sense. Where a hydrogen vehicle, you can use it for short range, and you can use it for long distance, provided we build and develop that infrastructure. So to me, it's the only, there is no comparison. It's the only vehicle out there that is an electric car, produces no emissions, and has unlimited range. And that's what I think is magic about it.
Well, let's talk about the infrastructure. I mean, at this point, what exists in Vancouver or in different other major cities across Canada?
Well, Vancouver was one of the original cities involved in the Hydrogen Highway project with the U.S. And so there's a number of stations that were built out there for that purpose. Unfortunately, back then, when that was being developed, they only could compress the hydrogen gas at what they say is a 350 bar level. Today, you can get up to 700 bar. That doubles your distance. That's how we get over 400 kilometers per tank. And there are very, very few 700 bar stations. But we have a lot of hydrogen. In fact, it's one of the leading hydrogen cities in the world. In fact, Canada is one of the leading hydrogen exporters in the world. We can make hydrogen throughout our great country because we have a lot of hydroelectric power that we can use to create hydrogen. We have a lot of gas reformation opportunities where we can convert byproducts of different products we produce here in Canada into hydrogen that are currently just going into the atmosphere, going into waste tanks. So there's a lot of opportunity for our country to produce hydrogen, and Vancouver seems to be the epicenter for that. So the one thing we have to now do, the next call to action that we have to get everybody on board with, is simply putting hydrogen filling stations, I'll bet with maybe a warmer nozzle, except for you, in places that are convenient, so we don't have to disrupt the lifestyle of our customers. So whether it's current fueling stations, gas stations, convenience stores, whether it's Canadian Tires, whether it's Walmarts, I don't know. It just, all I do know is we have to start building them so that people, all they need to do is once you drive the car, once you've accessed the fuel and found out how easy it is, and once you've seen the versatility of the vehicle, you'll never go back. It just makes total sense, and you're doing an enormous favor to the globe long term, to your grandkids, your great great grandkids. I mean, we can't keep burning fossil fuels forever. Unfortunately, one, they're going to run out, and I don't think there's one scientist in the world that is going to debate the fact that we have limited fossil fuels. We do. It is, maybe it's 100 years. Maybe it's 200 years. I don't know. Nobody does. but they do run out because we're not making any more dinosaurs. Number two, we have to start producing products that do not emit carbon. And we all know that. We're all working towards that direction. Even the electric car companies are doing the same, and for good reason. So I think everybody's on board with it. It's just that hydrogen will allow us to do it and live the lifestyles that we've become accustomed to. And I think that's what's special about it.
Who builds these hydrogen stations? Is it the car company? Is it the hydrogen supplier? And is it a money-making industry for them?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it's going to create all kinds of jobs. I think, number one, the gas stations are going to have to get on board. And if they don't, they're going to be left high and dry. So in California, for instance, Shell is producing a number of hydrogen pumps in their existing infrastructure. So kudos to Shell for that. But they could be doing more, a lot. Petro-Canada could be doing a lot more. And the reason I like the gas stations that currently exists because we're used to them. We know where they are. We go to them today. They have convenience stores. We pick up our Reese's peanut butter cups and our coffee there. And I think that infrastructure is important in our culture, and it is important, I think, for us to further the fuel cell demand. But also, I think there's a unique opportunity to develop fueling stations in unique different locations, stations in places where we shop, or better yet, mobile stations where you simply hit an app on your phone and say, I'm at a quarter tank and I'm at this location, just like you would an Uber taxi. And sure enough, up pulls the hydrogen filling truck. He fills your tank up right there for you, and off he goes, and it's charged directly to your credit cards. That could be a whole new industry for people, right? So make our lives even easier than they are today with gas-powered vehicles. Not only improve the environment, but make life easier. And I think those are the kind of opportunities that the fuel cell industry is going to present to us in the future.
You know, you've made it even more attractive by saying with your program for X amount of dollars per month, I think it's like $529. We'll talk more about pricing shortly. But for that 36-month term, people are able to refuel unlimited times. Is that correct?
Yeah. It comes with the fuel. So the price, you pay the price, and you don't have to worry about your electrical bills flying off the roof at your home with your home charging system. You don't have to worry about any of that. But, you know, you pay the price, we pay the hydrogen.
What would it cost on afterwards? Like, so comparable to a tank of gas or an amount of gas for 426 clicks, is it comparable in hydrogen costs for the same distance as well?
Yeah, I mean, we're right now we're using one station, right? So when we're talking 10 vehicles, one station. So when you have that small economy of scale, you're going to pay a high price of everything. You know, I mean, it's just the way business works. But as this expands and you think about how hydrogen is produced, and you think about how gasoline is produced, long term, hydrogen's going to win. It's going to be far more cost effective than gasoline. Today, yeah, we pay double the price we would for gasoline given the cheap price of gas. But anybody who believes it's going to stay down that low, I've got news for you.
Yeah,
don't count on it. So
exactly.
Ultimately, long-term hydrogen will be far more cost-effective. But short-term, it actually costs more because there's so little of it relative to gasoline.
Explain to our listeners how the BC Ministry of Energy and Mines has gotten involved in making the car attractive as far as a purchase or a lease.
I believe
the BC Ministry of Energy and Mines gave a successful incentive.
No, hey, they're great. That's another reason we chose BC to introduce the first hydrogen powered car, because the government cares. They're behind it. They put a credit already in place of $6,000, which allowed us to make adjustments to our pricing and make it even more affordable for customers. They're meeting with us on infrastructure. They're working with, there are a number of hydrogen groups in BC that they're helping us organize with. So I think the government's there. They're involved. But ultimately, like any initiative, eventually the private sector has to run with it. It's going to be sustainable It's not going to be sustainable because the government says it needs to be sustainable. It'll be sustainable because we make a good business proposition for customers to make their lives better. And that's where now the ball is in the court of the private sector with government support to build the stations. And one thing I have committed to is if we build the stations, just like Kevin Costner said in Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come, and I will bring in the cars. I just need more than one station to help our customers grow.
Now, your online website makes it sound like it's a very exclusive club. Like, I think whether or not I want your car, you make it sound like I've got to meet a certain criteria to get a car. So what do I need to do to get one of your vehicles?
That's just right now. That's just because, okay, really, Tammy, for you and your listeners, what we're trying to do right now is overcome, like we first started talking about, the concept of hydrogen powering a car. And so we're really looking for people that reflect everyday Canadian lives, right? People are taking their kids to hockey, people driving up to Whistler and back on the weekend, people going out playing golf and shoving the clubs, all the stuff that we do. So it was important that we got the right people because they're the pioneers. We call them the Hyundai Hydronauts. They're the ones that are on the front of this new technology. And if you see a bunch of scientists driving cars or a bunch of government officials, you're going to say, yeah, it works for them, but it would never work for me.
Right.
But when you see, Jennifer Crowley driving around or, you see them with their kids doing every day, you're going, oh, okay, maybe this hydrogen is a pretty normal way to get around. Maybe it would work for me. But we had to find those people that were willing to say, hey, it's not real convenient. You got to get your fuel over here. Doesn't cost anything, but, you have to be able to work this pump and go over here and go through this gate. And it's just not like driving up to the Petro-Canada and filling it up. So we want to make sure it's the right fit for the right people, and the right people are able to show everyone else that, hey, this works. It won't stay that way. I guess my point, Tammy, is that as we expand, this is a car for everybody. So the uniqueness of the hydrogen Hydronaut Club will dissipate, and it will become a car for everybody.
How many cars are available at this point with the program?
We brought 10 in initially, but what's available, the word available, they are mass produced. So these cars are part of a production line that produces the world famous Tucson. It is a sport utility vehicle. It's produced on the same line in Korea. And we have the capability of producing hundreds of thousands. So when you begin to mass produce, this is like back when Henry Ford decided to make the Model T. It wasn't that cars hadn't been produced prior to the Model T. It's just that Ford could mass produce the Model T and make it affordable for everyday consumers. And we're at that same phase now with fuel cell technology. And so right now I brought in 10, but that's just really due to the fact I only have one station
right
that I can use.
Now, you've made it extremely affordable. It's gone from $599 down to $529. I believe you eliminated the $3,600 down payment. That includes, from what I remember, roadside assistance and scheduled maintenance, valet service, which I love. It seems like you've eliminated as many barriers to entry as possible to get people on side.
Yeah, the only barrier is we have 10 cars, right?
Yeah, so, I know, right?
And the reduction in price came because of the credit we received from the government. That was all. So, we thank the government for their support, and, we want to make sure it was passed on directly to the consumer, and that's what we did. But, again, with only one filling station, we're kind of limited. So we're working fast and furious to expand our refueling capacity.
Any
we're looking ETA at the mobile.
On that, John, at all? Any ETA?
No. It's a good question because you're dealing also with city regulations, people that aren't familiar with the technology, and you're also having to convince people that distribute petrochemical products to switch to hydrogen. So
right,
there's a lot of work being done, but we are considering a lot of different options. We're looking at our dealerships, for instance, who are very progressive in this area and saying, okay, let's put fueling stations in our dealerships. So that may be a short-term solution that we implement. We're looking at mobile solutions. So you buy the car, we come to wherever you are to fill your car up when you need us.
Then I am in. Then I'm totally in.
Yeah. Tammy, you're right behind me on that one. So, but no, those are some of the ideas. But this year, we're going to come up with at least one new solution. My goal is every year, you know, we introduce the car at the beginning of the year. I want to get another station or refueling option in place by the end of the year. Next year, I want to expand that and just keep the momentum going forward. Because one thing we've learned is that if we tried hydrogen before, it didn't work. It didn't take. And it's because we didn't have the fortitude to keep pressing forward. And sometimes you have to celebrate the small steps. You just got to keep pushing forward and pushing and take every step forward to expand and don't give up. Be tenacious about it. So that's where we're at.
15 years ago, I never imagined that I'd be on the phone talking to the present CEO of Hyundai Canada talking about, you know, some of the first fuel cell cars. I think it's actually, you're right, small steps, but really, I think, huge steps. If people want to see more about the car, they can go to HyundaiHydrogen.ca. And
yep.
I look forward to keeping in touch with you to follow your journey, to see what Hyundai is doing next, and if we can, you know, let our viewers and listeners find out more about your cars for sure.
Yeah, the only thing I would add, we really are doing this not because we're being forced to, not because there's a government regulation that we have to meet, not because, frankly, not because it's a good business proposition, because
no,
right now
right.
That's very...
Enough, right?
It isn't. We believe in it, really. It's the best part about it is just that we believe in a better future, and we think this technology is going to lead us there. I think it's going to prove far superior to electric powered only vehicles because of the range and the ability to accommodate every lifestyle out there. But it's going to take people like you, like me, and the people that are driving these cars right now to keep it alive, keep it moving forward. And I appreciate it. Thanks, Tammy.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Don Romano, President and CEO of Hyundai Auto Canada. Welcome to the future of hydrogen. And certainly you guys are definitely the pioneers. We're very excited.
Thank you. You take care, Tammy. All right.